Thank the Lord. Let's just stand up just for a moment to honor the Lord. And he's at work in our heart. And he is transforming us, changing us from glory to glory. And Lord, we receive your grace this morning to understand and to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said amen and amen. Amen. Want to talk about the a lot of this that I'm sharing this morning, you know, obviously you already have heard, you already know, but I want to talk about the glory of our inheritance in Christ. Say it with me, the glory of our inheritance in Christ. And we're going to look at Ephesians 1:18, if we could. And I don't have it printed out in front of me, so there we go. And of course, the title of this message is called The Divine Exchange. And Paul prays that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You know, only God can open our eyes. Only God can enlighten us. That's why he gave us his Holy Spirit. We're not intelligent enough or smart enough to figure out the reality of the cross and the inheritance that it provided on our own. Now, a lot of people think they are, but of course, there's such a thing as the pride of learning knowledge without the help of the Holy Spirit. But we're receiving today the Holy Spirit's enlightenment to open our eyes that we might know. Okay, we want to know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. So we're going to look at the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And really, it is a reality of the cross, but sometimes things, spiritual things, have very little meaning to us when we don't see the reality of them in our life. So there was a divine exchange that took place on the cross. And that's the key that unlocks all the treasures of God's provision. At the cross, an exchange took place. And the exchange, of course, took place in our behalf. I want to say it this way, that all the evil of sin due by justice to come to us, of course, on the cross, it came on Jesus. So that all the good due to Jesus that he earned by his sinless obedience might be made available to us. So that's basically the reality of what happened on the cross. And we're going to look at a few specific aspects of it. I just have A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, so number A, and they're just very brief. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. He took his sin, took our sin upon himself, and was punished on the cross for our sins. And the end result of that exchange, if we receive it by faith, is forgiveness. I think sometimes people, we as Christians even, sometimes we don't really fully have the reality of what really happened on the cross. That's something we need to grow in, learn about, and pray that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes to the reality of forgiveness of sins. That's a big deal. We sometimes we don't fully understand how we struggle with guilt, with shame, with the effects of sin, and the reality that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us is that I'm forgiven. You're forgiven, okay? The freedom of forgiveness. And if we can't receive that forgiveness and the freedom that it brings, it hinders or it interferes with our relationship with God and his acceptance that he brought by the cross. Okay, Jesus wanted us to have the reality of being forgiven. He wants us to have the reality of being accepted in the beloved through his blood. Okay, he wants us to have that freedom of He paid a big price by dying for our sins, and he was punished for our sins on the cross, that we might be forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. You know, the Bible teaches that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I think one of the greatest things that we face and struggle with is condemnation. That is the enemy's job to, if Satan is at work anywhere, is trying to condemn us, trying to rob us of our peace, that you're forgiven. That's a powerful gift. That's a powerful reality of the cross. And then Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. And I just see that there's so much misunderstanding and struggle in this area. I have a whole aspect of that. I've got 9 pages. I probably won't get to all of them. If we can get by the first one, we're doing good. It's an area that we struggle with. Physical sickness, physical pain. Yet Jesus bore all that on the cross. It's an area that's totally misunderstood. There's a lot of misinformation or false teaching surrounding physical healing. And there always will be. So we'll come back to that one. But and then number C, that Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. And that's why we need to receive, the scripture says, the abundance of grace. How many know grace is abundant? It meets every possible, gives us grace in every possible situation that we could ever possibly be in. You know, the only way that grace won't work is if we won't believe it, and if we just want to, after we're saved, live in sin. Well, then grace can't function without repentance. But Holy Spirit, you know, is the only one that can help us understand that we're forgiven, that we're made righteous, not in a double standard, but in his very righteousness. Okay, that reality must come by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It's not up here. See? And God, when Jesus died on that cross and became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, he, God, sees us righteous. I think the biggest struggle that we have in life is believing that we're accepted by God. You know why that is? It's because we struggle accepting ourselves. Yet God created us to enjoy his acceptance. And we have to fight that demonic spirit of condemnation and rejection. We don't, sometimes we just say, well, I don't feel good enough. Well, yeah, you're going to be dealing with feelings. But you're not only forgiven, but you were, you know, forgiveness is a miracle of the cross. And so is the reality of the gift of righteousness. That's a miracle. You want to talk about miracles? That's a miracle to be made righteous. Okay. Now these are the glory of our inheritance. Your inheritance is that you were forgiven, you were made righteous. Jesus does not want you to live under condemnation. He does not want you to be constantly criticizing yourself, feeling that I'm not worthy, that I'm not good enough. No, you weren't good enough, but we took on his goodness, his acceptance, his righteousness. Because it's something that we can never earn. We have to receive it by faith. You know, the Bible talks about two kinds of righteousness, doesn't it? Self. And so many times when people don't understand, they get involved in religion, that their whole life they're motivated, okay, to walk, live their life in self-righteousness, and of course, completely deceived and falling short of the glory of God, we can immediately come up to his righteousness and get free from all forms of self-righteousness where we are attempting to earn God's acceptance. How many know you already have it in the cross? It's already a reality. It was a reality when Jesus said it was finished. And now it's our responsibility to walk in that acceptance, that forgiveness, that righteousness. You aren't going to be made any more righteous than you already are, because it is a perfect righteousness. The only thing you have to do is grow in your understanding of what God already did. Okay, and sometimes that's probably where we have, you know, one of our biggest struggles. Say it, I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
Okay. That's your inheritance. That's what you were called to be and to walk in and to do. And then Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. So that righteousness is, again, it's certain that I love that scripture. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then Jesus died our death that we might share in his life. We're talking about his eternal life, his life. We're talking about the new creature in Christ. No double standard. Again, his life is our life. We are one with what atonement means is at oneness with. Okay, we're at one with Christ. Okay. We share in that eternal life. It's something that God intended us to walk in and reflect in our life. And then the next one is Jesus was made a curse that we might receive the blessing. He was made a curse for us that we might receive the blessing. And you can look at the, if you want to go back in the Old Covenant, you can go to Deuteronomy, I think it's 28, where it talks about the blessings and the curses. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes we get careless or we don't, in our ignorance, we acknowledge curses. And of course, it's up to us not to yield to things that we were redeemed from, right? He was made a curse that we might receive the blessing. And you can go look at the, in Deuteronomy 28, you can look at the blessings. But the Bible says that we were, in Ephesians, I think it's 1:3, that we were blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, they're spiritual blessings, and they're in Christ. I was listening to a message not too long ago about, he's dead now, but he was a great Bible teacher when it comes to end times. And he was talking about how the Antichrist made war with the saints and overcame them. And he couldn't figure that out. Well, saints have been persecuted down through the ages. That doesn't mean that the Antichrist, a lot of people think we're gone. Well, the scripture's right there. Don't get me into that. There isn't a generation of scriptures in some way, shape, or form that Christians have been persecuted. Now, the way I'm saying that, Satan can never rob your salvation, no matter what he tries to do. And of course, the Antichrist will take advantage of the fact that we have physical bodies. You know, I was thinking about that, and he's saying, well, that's a contradiction. No, it's not a contradiction. The saints have always been persecuted. Not all of them, but and then I thought to myself, look, just go to the back of the book and look at what happened to Satan after his reign of terror ends. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. The gates of hell can never prevail against the real church. They just can't. There is martyrs, but it never robs us of our salvation. It's something that he can't steal or take because it comes from God and we're secure in Christ. So, and then Jesus endured our poverty that we might share in his abundance. You know, it's amazing to me how God, I mean my own testimony, how God takes care of me. It is, you know, and it's just there. It's there and it's always been there. His provision, always been there. You know, now if we want to get into amounts and all of that kind of stuff, which we are not cursed with poverty. We should never have a poverty mindset. We should never fear what people fear is they fear lack. And then they begin to magnify lack and say, well, I'm not going to have enough. You know, that's one thing I've never done. Because from the day that I was saved, Christ died on the cross to be my source. And he has been, from that day forward, faithful to provide. Never fear lack. Never fear poverty. You know, you never know. You know, I mean, sometimes God may lead you to do things, but so let's look at 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, now how rich do you think God is? You know, how abundant do you think his riches and glory are? It can't be fathomed. We're talking about the God that created the universe. We don't understand that. We don't know how big the universe is. We don't really have a full revelation of how abundant God is. And a lot of times, you know, we worry about earthly circumstances. You know, but our redemption is not based on all that. It's based on his promise. Just like it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it's always been that way with me. I don't know about you. I don't know what your struggles have been. But all I can tell you is poverty's a curse. And I don't want to live under that curse. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich. Say I'm rich. Now, I'm not trying to use that statement in natural terms. Okay. But I'm rich. You know, you need to get a hold of that scripture. That's not just for some and not others. If you're God's child, you are rich. Whatever you want to, whatever that means, it's not the same way that the world interprets that. That doesn't mean that you don't have to eat, sometimes earn money to eat or whatever, but I'm just saying that I at least have that testimony that God has always been my provider from the day I received Jesus Christ. You know, and I didn't even realize that I've had that testimony. You know, I wake up in the morning, I don't worry about the needs. Because the Bible says he supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory. Say riches in glory. Well, our Savior, our dad, is not poor. That you, through his poverty, might be made rich. He took our poverty on the cross. We're talking about a divine blessing. Okay, we're operating on another level. This is not something we do, but it's something he already did. And then Jesus bore our shame, that we might share his glory. Have you ever felt ashamed? It's just like, you know, the enemy says, shame on you. And sometimes we do sin, and he uses that against us to make us feel shame, guilt. But he bore that shame. And that's an area that you come under attack in your mind. Shame on you. And people will help that along. Satan will use people. Shame on you. But actually, we're sharing in his glory. Whether we understand it or not, it's real. And I'll be honest with you. There are times I don't feel it or understand it, but really we need to thank God for the glory of the cross. That's eternal glory. And then the next one is Jesus endured our rejection that we might enjoy his acceptance. Say enjoy his acceptance. The middle wall is broken down. There really was intended on the cross for nothing to be between us and God. There is in Christ a complete and total acceptance. Well, let's put it this way. Every one of those blessings in our inheritance are perfect. However, it's obvious that we don't fully relate to them in their perfection, but they're perfect. The cross did a perfect work that can never be improved on. There is nothing beyond it. I mean, just think of the how the world tries all this self-righteousness and everything else, trying to find answers to life, and we have them right here in the cross. Can't be improved on. We have a perfect acceptance. And you know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to destroy that acceptance. He's trying to make us believe a lie that we're never, ever good enough to be accepted. And yet the Bible says we're accepted in Christ. In other words, the acceptance that Christ has is the same acceptance that we have. You know, it almost seems unrealistic, doesn't it? I mean, it almost, this inheritance almost seems to be too good to be true. Yet I'm standing up here today giving you the reality, the facts of the truth. And obviously you have to receive it by faith. You have to overcome your past. You have to overcome your emotions. You have to overcome your own I think the greatest form of rejection is self-rejection. Don't you? I really believe that. I'm just not good enough to relate to God. I'm not good enough for his acceptance. I'm not good enough for his love. And it's tough. It's something sometimes we believe when we look in the mirror, you know. You know, it isn't, God isn't our problem. We're our problem. God is not rejecting us. He's done everything that he possibly can do to show us his love and acceptance. I'm just telling you the truth. This is the truth of the cross. And I had a couple pictures of the cross that I took, and I can't believe how effective they are in witnessing tools. Okay, and then he endured our rejection that we might, he paid a big price for our acceptance. And your biggest struggle is accepting yourself. Hello? You need to receive his acceptance by faith. That you're now free from rejection. You're now free from condemnation. You're now free from your own opinion. You're now free from the opinion of others. And then, of course, the last one I have here on the exchange is. Our old man died in Jesus that the new man might live in us. You see, the scripture is clear, the teaching is clear that the old self, that old sinful self, was crucified with Christ when he died on the cross. This is a big deal. Okay. The old man, they call him the old man, not your father or grandfather. The old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. We become a new creature. There, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, this list right here, it'd be something to have this list and renew your mind on it every day. If you're not renewing your mind, you're in trouble. And I found that I get myself in trouble. I was looking at the reality of, or the, you know, my own story was that when I received Christ, I didn't understand all that. I was just excited. I knew he was real. My mind was not was nowhere near renewed in the truth. Okay, so, you know, that's a good place to stumble over things. And I told a story testimony, but I'm going to tell it again because I need to tell the testimony. When I went, we had baptism, right? Both Tony and I think we were baptized the same night. And when I came to the baptismal tank, I was ill, sick. When I came out of the baptismal tank, and I don't know what, that was in 1975, and a miracle occurred. I was given the gift of divine health. And I walked in that, until I was almost 75 years old. That was that's now 5 years ago or more. I didn't have any religious teaching to destroy the reality of Christ. And I walked in that, and we were driving down the road, and I had just about turned 70 at that time, and I told Tony, well, we're going to, regardless of what that is, I says, we're going to live our second lifetime. And wasn't long. You know, it doesn't take much to make a mistake. And, you know, I thought I was physically invincible. And I climbed a tree alone, and I got injured. But personally, I went through a struggle, a physical struggle. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I just decided, you know what? I'm going to be restored to my divine health. And I was laying in bed, and I'm going to have a thing at least this big, and God gave me some stuff there. And I know it's crazy. I know it's beyond what's possible in the natural. But I just made up my mind, I'm going to walk in that divine health that I started my salvation in. Hello? I'm talking to myself now. I just apologize for falling short of that. So we got a new man. You know, you can't tell on the outward, but on the inward. And that new man has the reality of Jesus Christ in him. It's beyond the natural mind. It's beyond human comprehension. That's why the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us who believe, it is the power of God. Stop being in agreement with death. Stop being in agreement with death. See, so easy, you know, to resign ourselves to something that we were redeemed from. Isn't it though? It's easy to do that. And we don't even realize that we're doing it. We don't even realize that we've accepted a curse on our life. And we're glorifying it. Well, and so you won't, I'm going to close here, but I want to deal with a couple other little things here. You will never be able to find any reason you deserve this exchange, because you didn't deserve it. Jesus deserved it for you. It's the outworking of God's grace. It is an expression of his measureless love. And let me just talk about six things, and this won't take long. In addition to these nine vital exchanges that took place at the cross, there are six different aspects of deliverance that we may receive through the application of the cross in our lives. Let me give these six. We're going to put them on the screen. Through the cross, we receive deliverance from the authority of darkness. Say deliverance from the authority of darkness. I'm just telling you, God did all he's going to do to deliver you from the authority of darkness. You've got to use your authority now to take authority over it. Don't ask God to save you from the devil. He already has, right? Now this is I got to be careful not to get into a lengthy. You have the authority now. You're the new man in Christ. From the present evil age. Some people, you know, are fear evil and overcome by it. From the law. I'm glad we're under grace, aren't you? From self. I was doing I was looking at some of my old notes on pride, and I saw it. I mean, my eyes were open, and I guess they'll continue to be open to the idea of pride, the one of the ugliest, evilest. I'm going to do that teaching. It was on humility. So we were delivered from the law. And of course, there's a lot of religious teaching that tries to bring us back under our own efforts to find God's acceptance through the law. It's called self-righteousness. And that's why God had to send Christ, because man could not ever keep the law to begin with. From self. How much of a problem is that? How much of a problem are you in your relationship to God? Because you can be a problem and not even know it. And then from the flesh. You have to overcome the flesh. And then from the world. The world is obviously, this last one, of course, is something I guess we probably should teach on. The world is accelerating. We're looking at calamities and things happening all over the earth now. We were looking at what happened.